7:33 a.m. broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. Lots of new things on the Tennessee Star Report today. Of course, our new official guest host, Aaron Gulbranson. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And this is your first appearance on the Tennessee Star Report, but not your last. You'll be here every Tuesday from 6:30 to 8. And then you will, when I'm out of town, you will take over the duties here on the chair. It's not the golden microphone, but still, nonetheless, we'll call it the iron microphone. How about that?
There you go.
The Tennessee Star Report, and so you'll be here on Wednesday, June 8th, Thursday, June 9th, and Friday, June 10th, as I go off to my high school in upstate New York. Stockbridge Valley to give out a scholarship in memory of my best friend who passed away in August, and we went to high school together. Well, another new thing is our Star News Network Fresh Forecast brought to you by our chief meteorologist, Daphne DeLauren. Here it is.
It'll be a toasty day ahead, daytime high scorching into the upper 80s. It will be dry heat, lots of sunshine. If you're heading out in the town tonight, partly cloudy, it'll be nice and pleasant. Dry, 61 degrees for your overnight low. Now we roll into Wednesday. I'm eyeing the system. A chance for some strong to severe storms, especially north of I-40. It'll be windy, gusting up to 25 miles per hour during the day. 90 for your daytime high. From the Star News Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Daphne DeLauren, wishing you a wonderful day.
And that's Daphne DeLauren. You can see her live at 8:45 every morning. It's a video, a two-minute video forecast for Middle Tennessee that you can see at Tennessee Star on the web at TennesseeStar.com. So lots of new things going on here at the Tennessee Star Report. But, of course, in our final segment at 7:50, we'll have News Potpourri. That'll be back as well. Aaron, we have a very interesting political story that you've been writing about, and that is this appointment for a new attorney general here in Tennessee. You did a deep dive on it. It's a story up at the Tennessee Star. Supreme Court appointment of attorney general is unique to Tennessee. So it's the five Supreme Court justices, three of whom were appointed by Bill Haslam, one appointed by Bill Lee, one appointed by Phil Bredesen. Yep. They will make the pick.
Right.
Now, you've looked into this process. You've talked to the folks at the Supreme Court, and it's very bizarre, in my view, that a country where this country's constitution is based upon the separation of powers between the judicial branch, the executive branch, and the legislative branch, and every state constitution has that premise. But here in Tennessee, since 1870, embedded in our constitution is this conflict with that principle, and that is the judicial branch performs an executive function to name the attorney general. That is just odd, but that's the way it is here in Tennessee. What was the process like in 2014? What will it be like to 2022? Herb Slattery, picked in 2014, has said last week he's not going to be asked for the job again for another 8 years. His term ends August 31st. What can you tell us about this process?
So the 2014 process included a public solicitation for applications and had a public hearing process prior to a vote by the Tennessee Supreme Court.
So let me just pause here for a moment on that. So if you're an attorney, and I guess you would, yeah, if you're going to be the attorney general, you ought to be an attorney in Tennessee, it would seem to me, right?
It'd be better than being a chef, yes.
Yes. And so, if you're an attorney in Tennessee and you'd like to be the attorney general, yeah, you can apply. But I guess the Supreme Court has a process of narrowing that application down. Last time, how many candidates did they look at?
There were eight finalists. They did not publicly reveal, as far as I've seen, the number of applications.
Okay, so eight finalists.
Yes.
We don't know, but
they
okay.
could have had 1,000 applications for all. But what they did was they basically did a job posting like any other government job. On their website, and they said, you know, here are the dates. You can submit an application up until X deadline. And then after they publicly announced the eight finalists, about 2 weeks later is when they had a version of public hearings. I say a version of it because it's not a great length of time. And
so, yeah, when you say a version of public hearing, again, so they picked eight finalists.
Right.
One of them was the Attorney General at the time, Robert Cooper, no relation to John Cooper, the mayor, or Jim Cooper, the congressman. He was the Attorney General for 8 years. He'd been appointed by Bredesen, I think. But his term was up. He applied to get the gig again, but he didn't get it. There were eight candidates, one of whom, you know, was tapped by Governor Haslam. I just got the impression that it was perfunctory. I think if the governor tapped somebody in 2014, that was the person who was going to get the gig.
Listen, I cover city council meetings, and this process to me is very, very similar. Candidates had 10 minutes to speak on their own behalf at a public
meeting. In the public hearing, eight finalists. So you speak for 10 minutes at a public hearing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What can you learn about the candidate in 10 minutes?
That's like a campaign stump speech. So there you go.
So then what happens? Do the justices ask them questions
for 15 minutes each?
Well, you're kidding me. 15 minutes?
So you basically have about 25 minutes of public vetting. You could have somebody else speak for you in your 10 minutes of time if you wanted to, but...
So there was no real vetting of the judicial philosophy. Now, I would have said the questions that I would have asked Herb Slattery would have been, hey, are you going to defend the Tennessee General Assembly's interests? And they didn't. A year later, the Tennessee General Assembly passed a resolution saying, according to the 10th Amendment, we don't want to be forced to pay for refugees here in Tennessee. Governor Haslam wouldn't sign on to that, nor would Attorney General Slattery. And it went to federal court. It was kicked out for lack of standing because Slattery and the governor wouldn't back it up. That seems to me like a real problem with Attorney General Slattery. I mean, everybody says he's a fine fellow, and I think he is, and a good attorney, but he doesn't seem to have, in my view, he's not an aggressive, or has not been, an aggressive defender of the interests of the state of Tennessee.
You want an attorney general, or I'm assuming the voters would love this, and the voters and the citizens of Tennessee, excuse me, they don't have a vote, but the citizens of Tennessee, I think, would prefer an attorney general that is rock-ribbed, conservative, solid, and fights against every little bit of government overreach at
like
the federal
level. Like a Jeff Landry from Louisiana, Ken Paxton.
Yeah.
Now, rumor is that the fix is in.
Yep.
That's what the rumor is, and that this chief operating officer of the state from Tennessee, a graduate of SMU Law School,
right,
a former appellate judge here, Brandon Gibson, a high-ranking official. The rumor is if she wants the gig, the governor will appoint her. The problem is she's likely to be a weaker defender of Tennessee than even Slattery. We've talked to many folks and several sources. Mm-hmm. It's in your story. Characterize Brandon Gibson as, quote, a political opportunist who has no conservative core and will disappoint the Republican Party base more than Slattery has. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement from this source.
No, and as it says in her bio, she's on the Advisory Council of Leadership Tennessee, serving alongside her is Michael Anastasi of the Tennessean and the USA Today.
And Leadership Tennessee, this is, you know, this is definitely not a conservative organization.
No.
This is, you know, these are the kind of the globalist, federal government superiority gang. I think this situation... where we are right now, where it looks like the fix is in to put in an Attorney General, Brandon Gibson, mm-hmm. who will not support the interests of Tennesseans, at least as we define them
right.
at the Tennessee Star, as our listeners would define them.
Is
this going to happen again? Is it going to be just a slam dunk? Or what can be done to provide transparency to this process?
Well, I think that a key thing is to take what's available, and we'll know more about this exact process for this time in a little bit. But show up at the public meetings, make comments, propose candidates, have people go and put in their applications. I mean, there's a number of different things you can do.
Doesn't the Tennessee General Assembly have an opportunity here? Because, were dissed, I would say, by Slattery, who didn't back him up on the refugee lawsuit and in other circumstances. They can hold hearings. I mean, they would just be advisory, but they could say, well, this is the candidate that we think would best defend the interests of the Tennessee General Assembly and of the people of Tennessee.
Yep.
We'll see how this all plays out. Slattery's term ends August 31st. Hey, when we come back, it'll be time for News Potpourri. This is the Tennessee Star Report. He's Aaron Gulbenson. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.